I've been privileged to read The Passion many times, but never like today, when this replica of the shroud, the crown of thorns, the nail, the spear, the whip, and the sign are all present here. At the very heart of Christianity is this understanding that ours is a historical religion. Everything about Christianity speaks of things that happened at a particular time and in a particular place. And one of the beautiful things about that gospel reading today is we had a couple of little details that only Mark tells us. For instance, that detail about a young man who just had a linen around his middle that was pulled away and he ran away naked, that was actually St. Mark. That the garden where Jesus and the disciples went to was actually owned by Mark's family. And so this was a place where they went to time and again. So Mark, writing the gospel, includes this little detail, remembering what it was like for him to be there on the night of Jesus' betrayal. Mark also mentions the sons of Simon of Cyrene. Their names were Alexander and Rufus. And when you turn over to the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans, you get to the 16th chapter, and here St. Paul has his longest list where he has the names of people that he wants to greet. And in that list, towards the end of it, he says, "And greet Rufus and his mother, who is a mother to me as well." I guess by then, Alexander is dead. But the beautiful thing is that Simon of Cyrene, who's compelled to carry the cross, by the time St. Paul is writing his letter to the Romans, Simon's wife is like a mother to the Apostle Paul. And so this is a wonderful thing for us to celebrate today, that our faith is a historical faith. Think of our own histories. One of the things I know I like to do, and perhaps you do as well, when you go away on a holiday, you take more pictures than at any other time during the year, especially if you're going to a place that you really want to remember. You want to have a history, a record of that. And what better way to do that than to have photographs? Well, the whole of Holy Week is the church bringing out the photo album. And now we look again at all of these amazing photographs, all of these snapshots that the church has been remembering for 2,000 years. This morning, I want to speak with you about two snapshots. I call them snapshots of Palm Sunday. The first is the snapshot of the crowd. In our gospel from Mark 11, where we read about the entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, St. Mark writes, "And many spread their garments on the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields." Luke tells us that there are a whole multitude of disciples there. And Matthew says, the crowds that went before him and followed were shouting. So here's the question. Why were there so many people in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday? And not only that, we know that in the ancient city of Jerusalem, there were many gates leading into the city. But this crowd was at the Eastern Gate, also known as the Beautiful Gate. If you were to go over to the Acts of the Apostles in the third chapter where Peter and John go to the temple to pray, there is a paralytic and he is sitting by the Beautiful Gate, the Eastern Gate, the Golden Gate. What this gate is so important for is that it's the gate that is closest to the temple. And so it was for that reason that 4 days before the Passover, the high priest would do something very important. He would go from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, which was about 15 kilometers away, and he would go to a particular sheepfold where the Passover lambs had been raised. Bethlehem, Passover lambs. Remember Christmas? Remember the shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night, and the angel saying, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all the people." These shepherds were the shepherds raising the Passover lambs. And so on this particular day, the high priest goes to Bethlehem, finds a pure white lamb without any blemish, and he brings it into the city of Jerusalem on this day that is called the procession of the Passover lamb. It's Palm Sunday. And so the whole crowd is there at the Eastern Gate because they've been doing this for hundreds of years, welcoming in the high priest as he's carrying the Passover lamb. But wait a minute, it's different this year. Jesus is coming through the Eastern Gate. Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, who is the true Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. So this wasn't just a random gathering. This was grounded in the liturgy of the Jewish people. One of the things we heard in the Passion reading this morning is we're told that when they sang the hymn, they then went out. Well, what was the hymn? The hymn was a series of psalms called the Hallelujah Psalms. Psalms 112, 113, 114, 115, 116, 117, and 118. At the Passover meal, the tradition was to sing all of those psalms. And the amazing thing is that when you get to Psalm 118, you have this verse. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. Well, who's going to go through the gate of the Lord? The Passover lamb. But on this day, it is the righteous one going through the gate of the Lord. It is Jesus himself. And then the psalm says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What day has God made? This day has been ordained from all of eternity to be the day that Jesus will go through the Eastern Gate. And then the psalm concludes with these words. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God. He has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. Now, remember I said that the Eastern Gate was the gate nearest to the altar? So, of course, it makes perfect sense. That's where the priest is going to come in with the Paschal lamb so it can be taken to the altar. So here's what we need to appreciate about this first snapshot. It is so significant because it tells us that God is a God with a plan. God is a God who uses liturgy in order to help ground our lives. Now just think about this, beloved friends. Here we are on this day in the year 2018. But what we are doing today not only has a 2,000-year history, but it goes back even beyond that to its Jewish roots. I don't know if you're aware of the myth of Antaeus. Antaeus was the son of Poseidon. He was a giant. And whenever Antaeus was grounded, that is, when he was close to the earth, his strength was renewed. Well, one day Hercules wanted to fight him. And as they fought, Hercules discovered, yes, when Antaeus is on the ground, his strength is renewed. So Hercules said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to lift him up so he's no longer able to regain his strength from the earth that he comes from. And the longer Hercules kept Antaeus in the air, the weaker Antaeus became, and Hercules could begin to break his bones and kill him. Here's the point. If we do not live grounded lives, we will become weak. The church understands this. That's why we have Holy Week. That's why the Catholic Church is a liturgical church, because we know we need to stay close to the earth. We need to be grounded. Because if we're not grounded, the culture in which we live is going to break us. It's going to kill us. And so we appreciate the amazing truth of our faith, that these rituals are never intended to be ends in themselves. Rather, they always point to Jesus Christ, who on the day of the procession of the Passover lamb turned it into the procession of the Lamb of God, who is the Son of God. That's the first snapshot. The second one is the kingly procession. Now, of course, Jesus had to be carried into the city to fulfill the symbolism of the high priest carrying in the lamb. But why did Jesus go into the city on a colt rather than, say, a horse? And here's the reason, in part. You need to appreciate something about the customs of warfare in the ancient world. Remember where Jerusalem and Palestine were situated. They were at the very heart of the boundary between the countries in the north and over to the east and Egypt, which was south of Israel. And people would want to go down to Egypt because it was the breadbasket of the world. So say you were a Jewish man or woman in the city of Jerusalem, and you come out of the market, and in the distance you see an army has gathered, and you see their commander. Well, if the commander came into the city on a colt, it meant he came in peace. It meant he and his army were coming to replenish their supplies so they could then go to their destination. But if that commander came in on a horse, it meant that his army was going to engage in battle, and they were going to attack you. So why does Jesus come in on a colt? Because he is the Prince of Peace. He comes in this age to proclaim a kingdom that is a kingdom that we are free to join or to reject. He comes in this age to reconcile us to himself and to the Father. And so he comes on a colt. But now turn to the book of Revelation, the 19th chapter. We are almost at the climax of the whole of the Bible. This is the end of the 72nd book. And what does St. John see here? Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. He who sat upon it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. This second snapshot tells us something very important about Jesus. The age we live in now is the age of grace, where the Prince of Peace invites all people to accept him as their true and eternal King. His coming is in humility, and so people can choose to ignore him or to receive him. However, the day will come when no one will be able to ignore Jesus Christ, for he will come on the white horse to make war, and he will come to judge the nations. So what does this second snapshot teach us? That all of life is to be lived with gratitude and mercy, because of his peaceful first coming. But do not allow this to lull you into a sense of indifference. He will come again. For you see, beloved friends, we live in a universe where ultimate justice will reign. Because the one who is the true commander, the one who is faithful and true, is the one who St. John says will judge the world in righteousness, because he is the righteous one who went through the Eastern Gate on Palm Sunday. There is no getting away from it. Christianity is through and through a historical religion. But not only is it historical in the way it looks to the past, it is also a religion that is looking to the future, because we know it has a termination. It has an end, which will then be the new beginning. It's so good this week to be taking out the photo album. It's so important to look again and again and again and again at these snapshots of our salvation. So may we on this Palm Sunday take time to ponder the snapshots of the crowd and the snapshot of the kingly entrance through the Eastern Gate.